gentlemen, our national anthem.
Round, see our lounge.
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
"Wait, see me."
The loudspeaker spoke up and said,
gentlemen, put your hands together for Clyde Lewis and the Ground Zero Lounge.
I really love the enthusiasm. Such a small crowd, but still an enthusiastic crowd. I love that tonight. Thank you so much. Give yourselves a round of applause for coming out. I know the rain is out there, but come on, it's not snowing. We got a big rainstorm that we're dealing with here in Portland tonight, so we do have a smaller crowd, but maybe the crowd will get bigger as the night progresses. In fact, I've been told that I train people to come in later because I wait later and later to do the shows. While people are piling in and coming in, slowly but surely the trickle comes in. I want to tell you about last week's show and how some things have transpired. We talked about the pirates. We talked about what was really going on behind the scenes. And what's really interesting is that there have been some stories that have trickled in about the pirates that kind of back up what I've been talking about, and that is Somalia has now petitioned the United States saying, you want no pirates in our waters? Give us a Coast Guard, okay? Yes, you're right. The pirates were the Coast Guard. When you don't have a government that's recognizable, you have to do things on your own, and so the pirates were the Coast Guard. Second thing on the agenda, the cook for the Maersk Alabama is suing the crew. Suing them for $75,000. Why? Because they weren't supposed to be in those waters. They were illegally there. And the cook is saying that he's suing because the captain put the crew in danger. So remember we were saying that there's more to this story than just flexing our muscles and firing our weapons and shoot first, ask questions later, and having the Obama administration basically say, we don't kowtow to pirates, and we don't negotiate with terrorists, and we're going to knock out their bases. We're going to tear them. That's bullshit. It was bullshit from the beginning, and it's bullshit now. And we revealed the bullshit last week here at the Ground Zero Lounge. And by the way, a few people bought the shows. We sold the shows to them at $10 a piece. The shows that you see here, these slideshows that you see, they are available for $10. If you want any slideshow, just pay me 10. I'll pay 10 for each slideshow. I will make you a slideshow and bring it back to the lounge next week. So if you want to buy a slideshow, name the show. Any show that you've seen here that's been performed here will be, we can give to you if you want to buy a copy. Go ahead, Glenn.
Just a note, John Hancock, the signatory on America's Declaration of Independence, his business, he was just a plain old pirate, you know. And so he's in good company, I guess.
So yeah, we were all pirates back one time or another. Tonight, of course, is a show that I just want to tell you that I was, when I heard about the swine flu breakout, the pandemic that we're having right now, the World Health Organization is calling it a pandemic. I was with Jeff Cawley at the Ross Island Grocery. Remember Jeff Cawley came to the Ground Zero Lounge and spoke about the food contamination and about how we were saying the next bioterror attack will be in the food and it will be widespread and it will be some sort of a germ or something that will cause disease or sickness. Remember we said that? He and I were talking, and tonight you're going to find out some interesting things about what's going on. You're going to hear about this, and you're going to go, oh, my God, why aren't we being told this? You're not being told this because they don't want to panic. OHSU already has people at the emergency room right now sniffling and sneezing and claiming that they all have the swine flu, and they don't. But the swine flu is very real, and what's going on is very real, and there's a lot of interesting timing going on, and it's time, as Americans, that we need to toughen our emotional skin. Yes, I agree. Thank you. One clap. Couple claps. We need to toughen our emotional skin because the trouble is now is people are too busy whining about shit and not doing enough about the problem. They're whining and crying and saying, where are my rights? Where's this? Where's that? Where's this? No, you got to start doing it for you. Because if you start depending on the government to do it for you, they're just going to bend you over and, like I say, give you the old hard one, and you're going to say, thank you, I want more. because the government doesn't care about you, and they never have cared about you. That's why this, you're going to find out about this flu thing. It's going to piss you off. It pissed me off when I was doing the research. But, you know, the way I'm looking at this is there are some Americans that are really comfortable with the idea that their votes in the last election brought about change, that within a democracy, we destroyed that which was corrupt. We put into place an administration that will most certainly save us from what is called despotism, which means a government that basically doesn't give a shit about the people. We were submerged in this tsunami of hope. We were entranced in this spectacle of superstar Messiah president, and we just said, anything's better than this asshole Bush. You know, that was a very bad attitude to take. And there was nothing that would have been worse than that asshole, the other asshole. What was his name? What's that? Not Cheney. I forgot his name. Who's the guy that, McCain, thank you. God, I just drew a blank on McCain. Maybe it's because I don't like the guy. I don't like either or. I mean, I don't mind Obama. Obama's a nice guy. But I don't like the guys that are surrounding Obama. And see, that's the thing is that we sit here and we're thinking that it's one big party, that he's steering us all in the right direction. Let's all drink our lattes and party. Here we are with the Obama crowd going to town. We got 100 days coming in Wednesday. 100 days he's going to be in office, and the media's already saying, hey, we all love Barack Obama. Yeah. That's why we had protests, and that's why we had all this other shit going on. You know, they don't want to ruin that good feeling they got. But, you know, the truth is, we're more polarized now than we've ever been. We're more embittered now than we've ever been because the conservatives don't like the guy. And you know what? Conservatives are sore losers, just like they said that the damn liberals were. Either side is a sore loser. We're never going to get anything done. So, yes, it's one big happy family. Bullshit. It isn't happy. Go ahead.
Well, not all media likes Obama. There's a study from the Center of Media and Public Relations that said in the first 100 days, with the four major networks, NBC's reported like 61% of the stories about Obama were positive.
Right.
That was the highest network.
Right.
And ABC and CBS were also above 50%. But Fox was at 13% compared to the other three networks.
That's well, of course, Fox remains.
But that's it's way out of kilter with the other three networks.
I know. Well, and the bias is obvious. But, you know, CNN, you'll get into this in a minute, CNN, MSNBC, and all these other people, they're pulling dirty tricks too. Your media no longer is objective. There's no objectivity in your media at all, okay? Fox was the first bastard that did it. All the other networks are doing it. And so you can't get a real story. You can't get something that's unbiased. You're going to be getting this feel-good feeling. You know, the truth is the mere form of government cannot protect you from what can be called corruption. Democracy is not a foolproof plan to win, okay? Capitalism is not a foolproof plan to win. Socialism is a foolproof plan to win. None of these governments are a foolproof plan to win. You can put in a Tom, Dick, or Harry into the White House, and you'll still have to deal with the corruption that goes down. Jane Harman was just investigated the other day, talking with lobbyists and Israeli spies, Democrat who gave us the Homegrown Terrorism Act. This woman is a witch. But yet, oh, we're going to listen to her because those homegrown terrorists are waiting in the wings to destroy us all. Bullshit. There's corruption in every facet of your government. And it doesn't matter if it's Obama or Bush, they're there. Zbigniew Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger still sit in their thrones and they still get paid a hell of a lot of money to basically fuck you over. You cannot protect a nation from swinging towards despotism. It's becoming evident that people of the United States of America are witnessing that partisanship cannot be the determining factor in values and the substantive processes of running a government. No party has better values than the other party. That's just plain myth. And you'll find out more when we talk more about this flu. The FBI, the CIA, the NSA, all these alphabet agencies that are out there, they don't care about you. It's not about red state, blue state. It's the state versus you. And you're going to find that out more and more as we progress in this country. It's the state versus you, not red state, blue state. State versus you, it's always been that way. Yet we participate in a little thing called politics. We participate in a little thing called the election. And it's nothing but a blank check for these guys to continue to screw us. I say don't vote, and people say, you're a party pooper. What do you want, 8 more years of Bush? Fuck you. We've got 100 days of Obama, and look what's going on. Look, I'm not going to count the guy out in the beginning, but, you know, he's inherited a lot of shit that he said he was going to clean up. And you know what? It doesn't matter what policies he signs into law. The policies that Bush had are still on the books, and he hasn't cleared them out yet. We still have wiretaps. We still have Patriot Acts. We still have all these horrible things that are keeping us pretty much held to the ground with our rights, and they haven't been changed yet. If he would have done that right off the bat, wrote those things off and said, hey, that was yesterday, here's today, I would have been more apt to say, this guy's doing a good job. But he's not. He's cruising. You know, he's going to give you health care, big fucking deal. What else is he going to give you? You know, if you thumb your pages through history, you'll see that Germany under President Hindenburg was a republic. It was a democracy. It had everything we had. But then what happened was is there was a meltdown in the economy in the Weimar Republic, and then Hitler decided, hey, I'm going to look at take advantage of this thing, and I'm going to move in. Now, Hitler wasn't a bad guy at the time. Everybody thought he was awesome. He had so many great ideas and so many changes that he wanted to put into the Reich. He wanted to create the Third Reich. But, of course, if I use Hitler as an example, you're all going to go, oh, shit, Clyde, you know, you can't do that. Obama's not Hitler. Obama wouldn't do anything like that. No, of course Obama's not Hitler. But if you take a look at some of the things, it doesn't matter what partisan party you're part of, history will show you that a lot of the things they used to get the Germans to look into this were the same things Obama's been using, same things Bush has been using. That picture that's on the bottom left right there, that was taken from a German propaganda book. And it says, the hands of the Führer organize his speech. This picture captures Hitler's hands as he speaks of the unity of the National Socialist and socialist ideas. This is reality. Now, that doesn't make him Hitler. It just makes him a person who's a good quick study for what he needs to have done. He knows how to mesmerize a crowd. Nothing wrong with mesmerizing a crowd to cash in on your vote. I don't see any problem with that. I always say, you know, I would rather have them fly the swastika at the White House than have me guess. That way I know that I am serving a country that has a government that is fascist or nationalist. Hitler was able to stealthily move through the Republic and receive the confidence of the people. The reason was because at the time there was no effective, competently organized mainstream right-wing political party, and as a result, the economy in Germany had tanked. Germans feared the communists, also hated the Jews. There was also an incident known as the Reichstag fire, where Hitler blamed the destruction of the building on the Jews. As you can see, history has repeated itself with our war on terror, beginning with our Reichstag fire, which was September 11th, 2001. September 11th was when our Reichstag fire happened, and we all got scared. Fear, keeping these governments in power since 9/11/2001. Keep that in mind as you're looking through history. People believe that the United States is too great of a nation to fail. It's erroneously believed that there are too many safeguards to prevent a Hitler, Stalin, or Mussolini to rise up on American soil. We have blind faith that this country will never be steered in the wrong direction because we mistakenly believe that this system that we are all part of is based on the principles of God, and that God is on our side. Not on the side of the heathen, Muslim, or communist. He's on America's side. Jesus is going to return here before he returns to anybody else. They all are concerned about his return in Australia, aren't they? The kangaroos and the wallabies all say, boy, I'm waiting for the second coming of Christ. Yeah. They don't talk about it in fucking Australia, okay? They're too busy wanting to hang out on the beaches, eat Vegemite, and just basically have sex. Here, all we think about is whether or not we're on the right side of the fence. Well, you know what? We're not. We need to get with the program and toughen up and realize we're not. There's a frightening emotional investment that we put into things here in this country. I say that it's frightening because nationalism never is a substitute for common sense. And the tears of joy that were shed on Election Day are an eerie reminder of what victimization does to logic, what mental torture does to intellect, how it seems that we are so hopeful that things will change that we ignore that they really haven't at all. Somehow the people surrounding the president, President Obama, seem to be taking advantage of their power, and those who are on the other side are becoming more embittered and more polarized, as I had said earlier. I believe that the reason why the Weimar Republic is often cited as an example of how governments can fail hard is because we as a people were just as proud, just as jingoistic, and just as ignorant about how fragile democracy is. And how we can easily accept a Nazi-like government without even knowing it. How we can easily call patriots terrorists if they decide to rebel against those philosophies as they creep into our American lives. It's happened, it's happening a lot, and it's happening now. In the 1980s, Argentina was victimized by a manufactured war in the Falkland Islands, and their country was in turmoil. The people rebelled against it. They rebelled against their militarized government. Public debt skyrocketed. Hyperinflation made it impossible to buy goods. Their economy was a disaster. By 2002, the country was completely bankrupt. The result was mass civil unrest. Argentina is a country that went through what we inevitably will face in the future. There was something called the Dirty War that happened. It was a 7-year campaign by the Argentine government where innocent people, opponents of the government, suspected dissidents and actually subversives, were disappeared in the middle of the night. They were taken by secret government detention centers where they were tortured and eventually killed. They were known as the Los Desaparecidos or the Disappeared. Believe me, it's happening in this country now. Journalists have been taken and killed, suicided is what we call it, and they have been basically people like Gary Webb, Danny Castellero, Jay Hatfield, and to name a few, who have been basically taken out for what they have talked about before. Go ahead.
Okay, while I know what you mean, I'm curious, your definition of manufactured war, aren't they all?
Well, manufactured based on a flimsy premise. They told the Argentinians that the islands were theirs all along and that England didn't have any say in it. They were called Las Malvinas, not the Falklands. And they were told that they were told that they actually were invaded by the British when the British were already there. It was Galtieri that went in and he decided that this was our land, we're taking it back. So it was a manufactured war. Same with this war. It was a war on terror, but it was within the ranks of the people saying, beware, your people are basically out to get you. Your government said rat on everybody else. That's what they did in Argentina. That's why we have the Desaparecidos. The so-called dissidents and subversives were actually turned in by people like bartenders, priests, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers. You couldn't talk to anybody, your friends and neighbors, because they would inform the cops. They would inform the military and say, hey, by the way, he said something bad about the government. He needs to be taken out. He wrote something bad in the press. He needs to be taken out. And what happened is you got a knock at the door. Policemen would show up. They'd take you. They'd throw you in the back of a cattle truck. They'd take you out to a place called Riachuelo, put drugs in you, and dump you and have you be eaten by sharks. In other cases, they would take and waterboard you. Not with water, mind you, but with your own piss. It's what they do to people who talk bad about the government in little concentration camps that they had up the streets and down the streets of Buenos Aires, where I lived. And I lived there during that time, so I know about it. This little informant force sounds a lot like Barack Obama's little security force. He's proposing a civil police force. Now, doesn't that just creep you out? I mean, come on, people. I want a civil police force greater than our police force so we can go after the criminals. Yeah, I want a rat force that's going to stool pigeon on everybody, and they're going to basically make it hard for people to actually talk to each other because you can't say anything without them wanting to kick your ass. That, in my opinion, is the Stasi police, which basically they got rid of in East Berlin, or in Berlin, East Germany, back in the 1970s and 60s. George W. Bush was considered a president with Nazi philosophies. Now conservatives claim that Obama is the Nazi or the socialist or even the Marxist. Now, isn't it obvious that the entire government is corrupt and that Nazi Marxist suspicion is really the ghost of good old-fashioned fascism whispering in your ear that something wicked this way comes? Are you strong enough to admit? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Are you strong enough to admit that your emotional investment in candidates branded as messiahs was a result of planned programming to accept despotism? The playing field is now equal, people. Our Hitler is gone. The new Hitler is here. Actually, it's not Hitler. It's more Stalin, more Mussolini type. So I guess you could say Hitler was gone. Now we got Mussolini, his brother, in there. Yeah, a lot of people don't like that idea, but it's going on. It's time as a nation, as a collective whole, to toughen our emotional skins and stop pretending that whatever horrors are happening are just going to change or go away. Otherwise, we'll make harsh judgments on our fellow man based on programmed prejudices of nationalism as opposed to how we truly are as free thinkers. The government already has its hooks in you. The question is if you'll allow yourself to be reeled in like a dumb fish. I got a hook in my mouth. What should I? Oh, I'll just go. They don't play catch and release, people. You know, they don't. Once they got you, they got you. And they're not going to let go of you. Once they take away rights, they're not giving them back. We know that from 9/11. We know that with the Patriot Act. We know that with FISA. We know that with all the other shit that Obama has not signed away. Okay? We're still wiretapping. Citizens are still getting their rights taken from them. No change has happened. Oh, yeah, we need to get health care. It's because they're going to kick the shit out of you to go to health care, right? That's what we want. We want to be abused. Our mainstream thinking is that our home, our government, our system is too great to fail. We need to bring into perspective the reality. Those who place themselves above us will soon see their ends too. The whole machine is showing signs of corruption. This spans the entire political spectrum from Republican to Democrat. Ambition, while admirable, can also be detrimental if it has its foundation in lawlessness and uses the pain of others for unknown ends. This nation will eventually become undeveloped, and we will no longer have the luxuries we once cherished. I'm talking about torture. I'm talking about looking away from torture. And then Obama coming back and saying, well, we're going to investigate it. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. No. You know, when people are undecided, they don't do shit. So if Obama's saying one thing and on the other hand saying another thing, it's not going to get done. They're not going to prosecute. Are you kidding me? It's divisive, Eric Holder says. Fuck you, Eric. It's not divisive. If this country was to stop being partisan, then it wouldn't be divisive. If people would stop going, well, it's a Republican thing, it's a Democrat thing. No, it's a fucking crime. We don't say a Republican committed the crime today. We don't say a Christian committed the crime. Oh, we say a gay committed the crime. Yeah, that's our country, okay? Let's stop doing the partisan shit and start calling the criminals criminals. Because we got to do it, because we got to get rid. You know, naive, liberal, and conservative people in America are comfortable in their urban sprawl, their lawn mowing, their American Idol, their sports. You know, they're all happy. And then something comes along that's thrown at them, and they just go, okay, yeah, all right. Doesn't affect me. Yeah, I'm right. I'm out of a job that, oh, shit, it affected me. My God, what am I going to do now? I can't pay for that car. I can't pay for that house. You know, houses now, $25,000 in Sacramento. Yeah, you can get a home for $25,000 in Sacramento. I just read that today. Welcome to the adjustment for inflation, people. When people aren't making money, they're not going to spend any money. And people aren't making money, okay? Anyone who says, comes up to you and says, this place is fucked up and falling apart, you go to a liberal and say this, and I've had that happen to me because I've been talking bad about Obama in some respects. I like Obama, but I don't like some of his policies. I don't like some of the assholes that surround him. People say, get with the program, man. Get with the program, man. Move on, man. Move on. Fuck off.
Get with the programming.
Yeah, get with the programming. Very good. Get with the programming, man. You're a lunatic. You're a stupid ass. My God, you're racist. Fuck Janine Garofalo. Fuck her. Did you hear what she said? She was on, she was on Keith Olbermann, right? And they were talking about this Tea Party thing that happened, this taxed enough already party that was happening. She said, well, these guys are racist. They're like the KKK. They're like the white supremacists. And you know what? And people like Anderson Cooper and people like, Olbermann himself called it teabagging. You know what teabagging is? It's a euphemism for homosexual oral sex. Putting your balls in the mouth of someone is teabagging. You know what? They said it over and over again on MSNBC, CNN. And you know what? That is grounds for FCC violation. But did anybody report it? No. Why? You certainly don't like to see Janet Jackson's titties, but you want to hear someone talk about balls in someone's mouth? Where is our goddamn standards in this country? Jesus, I would rather look at tits than have someone's balls in my mouth. Oh, sorry, we got some gay people in the audience. Sorry, Glenn. Anyway, love the gay crowd. Okay, well, she said that they were like that, and I'm just thinking that was divisive to get people angry. But where were people reporting that whole teabagging thing? I'll never know. You know, by Garofalo's statements, you could probably now say that kids are racist too. Why? Because they don't believe that there's hope. They just did a big survey. It was a telephone survey, opinion research done by the Habitat Heroes, and it said that A sample of 500 American preteens, 250 males and 250 females, found that one out of three children aged 6 to 11 fears that the Earth won't exist when they grow up. While more than half, 56%, worry that the planet will be destroyed in a massive war. So if those white kids are racist, let's go to the sliding scale of minorities. 75% of black children and 65% of Hispanic children say that they're not going to live to see the world flourish, that it's going to be taken out by some destructive war. So fuck you, Janine Garofalo, you fucking cunt. You make statements like that, and you are just as stupid as anybody else out there that says stupid things. These children are frightened about the future, and you make some fucking stupid statement like that when people are protesting being taxed out their fucking ears. And all you guys that call it teabagging, shut the fuck up. I would love to do a campaign against the FCC and say, look, call it teabagging. Keep calling it teabagging, okay? And see how far it gets you. I hate that. I'm an old school news guy. That is bad news reporting. They wouldn't have let that happen when I was at CNN back in the 80s and 90s. They wouldn't have let that happen. Being around a three-year-old, I am learning that children pick up the most subtle cues from adults. Children are especially susceptible to negative language, and we've had an abundance of that in the news lately. Movies, propaganda surrounding the global warming shit and everything else. These things can send a message of no hope. I have learned that it's important to speak clearly about real dangers, but take care to offer positive ways out. The issues are real and tangible. We need to remember that the needs of children and how they perceive what is happening around them. We also should not project our fears and prejudices onto our kids. We too have been programmed to fear nuclear war, terror threats, climate change, and the apocalypse. We too are like children at times, but hopefully we've developed skills where we can work through those low points in our lives. We must be aware of influences and practices that rob children of their virtue. We must understand that there is no other success or material wealth that can be compensated for failure with our children or failure to love one another in times of strife. No greenhouse carbon tax or philosophical cause is going to save the souls on a planet that has already allowed for an apocalyptic breakdown to crush the consensus spirit. We need to find ways to connect with each other as our toxic environment takes its toll on otherwise stable individuals, people you would never expect to crack, except this guy. Didn't we expect this to happen? Freddie Mac guy, the head of Freddie Mac, offs himself. Why? I'll tell you why. He lost money. He's losing money. When was that? A couple days ago. April 22nd, killed himself. People are freaking out because they don't have any more money. And this is going to be a lot of this going on. Copycat killing, copycat death. It's going to be happening. And that's why I say, things like what Garofalo said are bullshit when people are offing themselves and feeling bad about the way they are. Go ahead.
A coworker of mine's friend, female friend, is in the Army. I think she was a lieutenant. And she was about to be redeployed. And she was told that she wasn't going to go to Afghanistan or Iraq. She was going to go somewhere nice because I think she'd done a tour there or two. Anyway, they changed the plans at the last minute, and she committed suicide. This happened a couple days ago.
Sorry to hear that.
And this is in the Vancouver area.
Sorry to hear that. It's happening, people. You wouldn't expect people to crack, but they are. It's a very tough time. Financially, people are losing their jobs. I actually, get a load of this, last week, I'm unemployed. Last week, my unemployment check did not happen because I had an adjustment that I had to fill out. I didn't fill it out. Apparently, a lot of people didn't fill it out. They do this to you. I had friends calling me, hey, did you get your unemployment? No, I didn't get mine either. What the fuck? We had to commiserate. It happens, man. People are in the same boat. You have to commiserate. Otherwise, you're going to fucking lose your head. There's some crazy times going on right now. This is all part of what is known as destructive group programming. Michael Crichton, before he died, made a speech, and he actually said, authoritatively telling people that they're going to die because of some manufactured theory of global catastrophe can itself be fatal. If you're constantly being told that you're going to die, if you're constantly being told that something horrible is going to happen to you, if you're going to be told about global warming, economic collapse, nuclear conflagration, space threats, Armageddon, 2012, you're going to go that path. If you decide that you're not going to go that way and not fear it, then it's not going to harm you. But most people are scared shitless about this stuff. And I'll tell you, it is fatal. Because people give up all hope, and when they give up all hope, they don't care anymore. New statistics from Homeland Security can make one feel a little paranoid. In the Ground Zero Lounge, where we discussed the new type of terrorism, we exposed the new focus on terror, that being terror perpetrated by Americans themselves using toxins and food. The focus, according to the new intelligence, stated that right-wing extremists and libertarians are likely to be your next terrorists. The others are disgruntled veterans and people who obsess over the details of 9/11 attacks. That's every one of us. Okay? We're the next terrorists. That's according to Jane Neapolitano, who's a real dumbass. So, okay. Believe it or not, there are also statistics on who would be the next most likely to start the civil unrest in the United States. The figures are far from being politically correct. Now remember, I'm going to show you this. This is your government talking. This isn't me talking, okay? This is what they're planning on. They're saying the new statistics are as unpopular as they seem. They're saying that the country, of course, is planning for a minority clash of civilizations. It looks like that blacks and Hispanics are most likely to cause trouble. Why? Because their unemployment's worse than white guys, and they're most likely to crack first. Okay? Your civil unrest will come from the blacks, the minorities. Your terrorism will come from us because we're fed up. Okay? They've always been fucked. We're going to feel it too, and we're the ones going to start blowing shit up. That's according to Homeland Security. Also,